Now, I don't know if you know this, parents, but existing headgear is not going to do anything when it comes to your kid's brain. Existing headgear and mouthguards will not stop concussions from happening to rugby players or anybody else. This according to Michael Cusinamo, neurosurgeon at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. Cusinamo is going to join me in a second to talk about concussions. The current generation of protective equipment in all sports, headgear and mouthguards, is not designed for the purpose to stop concussions. Now, I know a lot of you parents believe that that's the case, and it's just not. And there's a story by James Christie in today's Globe and Mail. Doctors know more and more about the brain than we've ever had before with brain imaging, etc. And we know more and more about the impact and the long-term effects of brain injuries, brain bruises. Basically, the brain gelatinous material shifts in the skull and impacts against the skull. And that's the problem, is that you can protect the skull, but the brain shifts within the cranium, and therein lies the problem. Dr. Michael Cusinamo joins us, neurosurgeon at St. Michael's Hospital. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
Yeah, thanks for asking me, Andrew.
That's the problem, is the brain shifting in the skull, right?
Yeah, the brain accelerates and decelerates when it's subjected to a force of injury, like a body check or a hit on the head. Just want to qualify the research that we did specifically related to headgear was in relation to rugby, that this recent research was about.
But no headgear protects against concussions. I mean, you're better off with the headgear than not. But let's talk about, you know, some people feel they're impervious to concussions, that they are protected and sheltered from them if the headgear is appropriate. And what does the medical community say to that?
I think what we need to clarify is that I don't want people to go away and say don't wear helmets anymore.
No. Yeah, no.
So I don't want that message to get across to people. But people have this sense of inviability or that they're never going to get hurt if they just get the best helmet possible. And there's no truth in that whatsoever. If they put on a mouth guard, they're going to protect themselves against concussion. And there's no evidence to support that. So I think the key is, yes, you wear the helmet if you're, say, playing hockey, but that's not going to give you total protection. That there are other things that we need to do as well as having proper equipment to protect people from having concussions and brain injuries.
Two issues I want to talk to you about, Doctor. That's rugby and hockey. Dr. Cusinamo joins us. What are parents asking you? Like, what are your neighbors saying? You go to a party. We know that doctors are always attacked when they go to parties by relatives asking medical, you know. But what are you hearing from parents concerned about their kids' brains?
Well, I'm hearing just that people are concerned that the culture in hockey and other sports has turned to just win it all, at all cost attitude. And they're worried about their kids getting injuries. The kids are worried about it. And as a result, a lot of the kids actually leave hockey at around, ages 12 to 14 when they start to really grow and there's a big difference in sizes. So kids are leaving the sport at a time really when they should be continuing and being physically active and getting all the benefits of the sport.
Right, because we know that obesity is a big concern.
Yeah, we need to keep kids healthy. We need to keep them healthy right up into adulthood and beyond, right? When people are concerned about sustaining a brain injury and the long-term effects of that, a lot of people say, no, I'm not going to continue. And we have a problem right now in hockey with that kind of attitude.
Now, let's talk about rugby. You're seeing more incidents of brain injury in rugby, correct?
Well, we're seeing an incidence in rugby as well, as most contact type sports. There's no doubt about that. In rugby, we're also seeing spinal injuries as well. The recent research that we looked at is what can we do to prevent that? And we found that headgear and mouth guards, contrary to a lot of sort of public opinion, actually don't protect you against those kinds of injuries. And it's not surprising when you look at those kinds of pieces of equipment, but there is sort of this prevailing attitude, like when you go to parties, well, I'll get a good mouth guard and that'll protect me. Well, that's not the case that we found.
Dr. Cusimano, the increased incidence of brain injuries with kids, I believe is a function of a couple of things. One, we're reporting it more. We know more about brain injuries, so we're seeing it more because we know what to look for. The other issue is kids are bigger. In terms of the human species, we're continuing to evolve and develop. We know that seats are bigger in airplanes and in stadiums. Adults are bigger. Kids are bigger. We seem to be growing faster, whether it's protracted exposure to hormones and food or whatever. We're growing faster, bigger. The equipment is lighter and stronger. So, you know, our knowledge, the fact that kids are bigger and the fact that equipment is harder, is this why we're seeing more incidents of brain injuries?
I think those are very valid points. I think when you look at some sports like hockey, I think speeds have gone up as well. So the speed of impact has increased. And certain rule changes have made it more likely that people have high-speed impacts. So things like that have definitely impacted.
Like in the old days with hockey, the game was slower. And players played differently because they didn't have protective headgear. So they didn't go into the boards the same way, right? They didn't feel invulnerable like they do now with the suit of armor they have. So, you know, hockey is a different game today than it was 20 years ago even, right?
Yeah, I've heard that said repeatedly among sort of high-level junior and NHL players frequently that it's that they feel it's a totally different game now. I think people also have been sort of, when you look at the high-level leagues, people are hired to do certain things. And I don't think we saw that so much in the past as we do now.
Dr. Cusimano, would you have your kids in contact sports, knowing the risks to the brain?
Yeah, my son is in rugby. He plays rugby, yeah, I think there are a lot of benefits to being in sport, and I don't want to send the message at all that sport is not good. I think we need to think of ourselves as a society. How are we looking at the sport, and particularly in hockey, because that's at everybody's heart in Canada. How do we look at the sport and what's happening in the culture, and what can we do to deal with this huge number of concussions and brain injuries that we're seeing? And I think times come that we have to say, hey, we can't just deny this anymore. Let's start making some changes in rules, have some economic incentives, have educational programs that are compulsory across the whole country, that we can start to address this problem. I don't think we want to get rid of sport. I certainly want my kids to be active. But I think we need to look as a society what we can do to make it safe that kids stay in the sport and that they play it for their whole life.
6 degrees going up to 9. It might rain on you today. 7:12. Dr. Cusimano joins us. Existing headgear and mouthguards will not stop concussions from happening to rugby players, says Michael Cusimano, a neurosurgeon at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. He joins us now. What about making helmets larger?
There's a risk in making helmets larger because what you do is increase what's called the moment of rotation. So kids' heads become heavier and they rotate more. So actually there is some concern about that previously that making them larger would actually increase injury rates. And some laboratory evidence suggests that. That hasn't borne out when we look at the data from kids actually playing hockey. But I don't think the answer is necessarily in devising a better helmet in, say, a sport like hockey. I think we need to look right from the top to the to the bottom in terms of levels of play, and how do we change attitudes? And you move attitudes forward by changing rules. You know, giving an NHL player, you know, a major penalty for a major hit to the head, or even suspending them for a game or two, isn't going to change anything. We need some real meat and teeth into rules where there's intentional head hitting going on. Serious infractions should be met with serious penalties that have an economic impact to the team and the player, and impact the team as a whole. So that player is out for not one or two games, but maybe a season, because the player he just inflicted the injury on, you can count on he's going to be out for at least 2 months.
So what do you say to parents, lastly, Dr. Cusumano?
Well, what I say to parents is that they should keep their kids in sport. I think they should have discussions among themselves. They should approach their local hockey league, and they should act and make change. They should pressure the people who are responsible for hockey, like groups in Hockey Canada, their local hockey leagues, to start to make changes where we get those happening. They should also write to media and to call into your show and ask for changes at higher levels too, because all the kids emulate the higher levels of play. And these are the kinds of things that parents need to start doing. It's to come from the bottom up if it's not coming from the top down, because frankly we're not seeing leadership from the top. So it's got to come from parents, coaches, even referees, league officials, right from the bottom moving up.